Hello, this is Robert Rickover at Body Learning, and today my guest is Laura Klein. Laura is an Alexander Technique teacher in Berkeley, California, and she also has a long career in music. She's a professional jazz musician, has been performing professionally for over 30 years. At the moment, two of her current projects are the five-play jazz quintet and the Laura Klein-Ted Wolf duo. And you can hear examples of her playing on her website, and we'll post a link to her site by the interview. And our topic today is going to be how the Alexander Technique can help musicians. Laura, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Robert. I'm glad to be here.
Could you begin by just providing our listeners with a very short description or definition of the Alexander Technique?
Well, I think of the Alexander Technique as a great tool for learning and coping with life in general. It's an educational approach, and it's a way of becoming more aware of your movement patterns, your overall coordination, and how you react in all your everyday situations and activities. So you learn how to gain more control over those reactions and maybe to change some habits of tension and misuse that are getting in your way.
Mm-hmm. And what would be the special draw of the Alexander Technique for a musician?
Well, I think there's a number of things that make it particularly useful for musicians, although obviously I think it can be useful for anyone. Musicians and singers, we're athletes. We don't think of ourselves as athletes, but we are athletes of small movements, and we really need optimal coordination, because if you're doing something that's even a little bit problematic and you're doing it hundreds of times a day, it's going to start to cause problems. And, I think the majority of musicians, professional musicians, do suffer some kind of injury in the course of their career. So, obviously, we need all the help we can get. And the other thing is that we need to be able to execute our musical conception without any hindrance, either mental or physical. And there are lots of things that can get in the way of us playing or singing at our best.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would echo that same thought. When I first started teaching the technique, a lot of my early students were musicians, and I was astonished at the challenge of playing an instrument professionally, long hours, long rehearsals, same movements over and over again. I used to think athletes were, what we think of as athletes, had very demanding jobs, but I would say musicians even more so. And I wonder if you could talk a little bit about maybe some examples of people you've worked with, musicians you've worked with.
Sure. I've worked with so many over the years, and of course, everybody's got their own particular issues, although some things generalize. One thing that I've noticed is that quite naturally, when somebody comes in for lessons, they're usually concerned about the specifics. A pianist or a guitarist might be concerned with their hands. A singer might be concerned with breathing. Horn players might be concerned with embouchure. And, of course, we really play and sing with our whole selves, not just one part of ourselves. So one of the tasks that I have as a teacher is to look at not just the specific movements involved in playing, but the person's general, what we call use of themselves, and what, you know, might be getting in the way of this person's technique and performance. I used to work with a young man who was a conductor, you know, a professional, on track to be a professional conductor, and he was having a lot of pain conducting, and what we discovered was that he was really getting his shoulder inappropriately involved in his conducting movements, and that his standing balance was not optimal, and was interfering with the length of his spine. And when you compress your spine, you're not going to breathe as freely. So we were able to resolve those issues, and he was able to start to conduct very comfortably for long periods of time without discomfort. Another student that I had was a professional guitarist, you know, was on the road a lot, and just having hand problems, arm problems, and we did both the general Alexander work and a lot of work with him holding his guitar, just looking at how he was holding the guitar, how it was balanced. Just his overall setup, not just his specific way he was playing, and he was then able to play without, you know, pain and discomfort.
Mm. Do you find that there any differences when you have students who are jazz musicians as, say, opposed to classical musicians?
Well, that's an interesting question. I think the technical issues are the same, but jazz musicians have the added, I don't know whether it's both a challenge and a joy to me, what they're doing is improvisation. So unlike classical musicians, they can't completely plan for what they're going to play. So it's even more important for them to be able to respond in the moment, and not be imprisoned by their habits, because in jazz you never know what's going to happen. That's the fun of it. That's the difficulty in it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think since Alexander technique addresses this whole issue of not responding habitually, being able to be in the moment, being able to be aware not only of your own self, but your surroundings. All these are tremendously helpful in playing jazz, because you've got to be listening to what your fellow musicians are doing and be able to respond very immediately. So I think, you know, as a jazz musician, I think it's extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm. And from the point of view of a musician listening to our conversation, what might be some indications that it would be useful for them to at least investigate the Alexander technique?
Well, you know, people come to the technique for many different reasons. One of the most common reasons, of course, is if they're having some kind of difficulty, you know, pain or injury. But sometimes just maybe they feel that they've hit a wall with their technique, that they're somehow not improving, even though they're working at it. Sometimes people come because they're having, you know, stage fright and anxiety. And a lot of times we can really address this through learning how to change the so-called physical response to performing. You know, how to use that, use the sort of excitement of performing to enhance your performance rather than to detract from it or get overwhelmed. I think there's a quote that says, don't get excited, be exciting.
Mm-hmm.
So,
right.
And then, you know, It can also improve your stage presence if you don't like the way you look on stage, give you more poise, more confidence. You know, a lot of musicians, sometimes they're trying to express themselves musically and they're making movements that are really detracting from their performance. You know, we all know musicians that might play like angels, but they're kind of hard to watch. Mm-hmm. Maybe they're making funny facial expressions or grimacing. They're compulsively hunching over their instruments. And it's both nicer for the player and for the audience if they're moving in such a way that's going to help the playing and, you know, and be visually attractive. Mm-hmm. So I think all of those are, you know, things that can, that technique can really address.
And what was your original reason for taking Alexander lessons? I believe you were already studying music, or were you already a musician at that point? Or?
Well, I started when I was in college and I was a piano major. I was spending a lot of hours sitting at the piano, as music majors do, and I started to develop a lot of back pain. This sort of would come and go, and then when I graduated and I was out in the world, I was teaching piano, I was playing gigs, and I was accompanying dance classes and sitting for long hours, and the back pain was just getting worse and worse. I tried various approaches to alleviate it, you know, medical approaches, exercise, and nothing was really working. And then a couple of different people advised me to investigate the Alexander technique. And as soon as I started taking lessons, I just fell in love with it. I didn't really understand it, but mm-hmm. within two or three lessons, I thought, wow, this is really profound. This is helping me. And then I studied privately for a few years the whole time I was a professional musician. And then I just got so involved in the work that I decided to train to teach, which I did from 1984 to 1987. And since then, I've continued my professional music career and also had a practice in the Alexander technique.
Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that you would like to add that we haven't touched on that might be of interest to a musician listening to this conversation?
Well, a couple of things. You know, I originally started studying, as I said, because my back was hurting and I just wanted to make it stop. But once I started taking lessons, I started realizing that all the habits that I brought to playing actually generalized into all my activities, and that not only was the Alexander work helping me to play better and to feel better when I was playing, but it was helping me in other aspects of my life. I was feeling calmer, my general coordination was improving. I had always struggled with swimming and I became a lap swimmer. So it helped me in a much broader way than I was ever expecting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that that's just something that, you know, people often find. They come for a specific reason, and then it helps them in so many other areas of their life. And the other thing that I tell musicians is that when you're paying attention in your daily activities, you know, you're out for a walk, you're washing your dishes, you're driving your car, if you're using yourself well in all those other things, then when you sit down at your instrument or it's time to sing, you're already well set up. So you can, in a sense, be improving your musical performance even when you're not practicing.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we should just elaborate on that concept of the word use or using yourself. It's an Alexander term. Do you want to say a little bit what it means, or would you like me to say something? Or
just sure. Well, I'll say what I think, and please add whatever you would like, you know, as you go through your day, whatever you're doing, you know, you're speaking on the phone or you're getting dressed or taking a shower, brushing your teeth, reading a book, you know, using your computer. In all of those activities, you're moving, and the way that you sit, stand, walk, bend, you can be doing those things with, you know, efficiency and ease, and we call that using yourself well. Or you can be doing those things in such a way that tends towards contraction and tension, unnecessary tension and effort. And that is not optimal good use and often leads to some kind of problem.
Mm-hmm. And I think one of Alexander's great discoveries really was that patterns of misuse tend to carry across a wide variety of activities for any individual. That is, someone who tightens their neck to play a guitar probably, or very likely, tightens their neck to walk or to drive their car too.
Absolutely.
So unless you have anything further to add, this might be a good time to end the conversation.
All right, Robert.
And let me just sort of reintroduce you to the audience quickly. I've been speaking today with Laura Klein, who is an Alexander Technique teacher in Berkeley, California. And she also is a professional musician, primarily a jazz pianist. And if you are in the Berkeley area, give her a call if you'd like to have lessons. And if you're a musician somewhere else and this conversation intrigues you, find a teacher in your area and maybe have a few lessons. Laura, thank you so much for being on the show today.
Well, thank you, Robert. It's really been fun.